Well, if you believe the surveys, employee engagement has been declining across the federal government for several years. A recent presidential personnel memo makes the senior executive service members accountable for several agencies' employee engagement through the SES Performance Management System. So how do you go about increasing engagement if you are an SESer? For some answers, we turn to David Dye. He's a director in Deloitte's Federal Human Capital Group. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks. Nice to be with you again.
All right. So what is it that SES members are now charged with doing that they didn't have to do before this new performance evaluation system?
Well, I'm not sure it's anything different they haven't been asked or incentivized to do before, but there's a little bit more of an accountability, as you said, as this recent OPM and OMB memo asked SES to include in their performance management elements concepts around employee engagement. So I guess employee engagement has become more of a stick as well as a carrot, as it has been for a long time.
I mean, that is part of being a senior manager in any sort of enterprise, right, is keeping engaged the people that work for you.
Well, absolutely. And we have some data on this. We've done surveys, and when you look at talking to both public and private sector leaders, employee engagement now is one of the top challenges for CEOs and leaders in government. Believe it or not, Tom, we're spending upwards of almost $1 billion a year across the country on it. And while many leaders believe in it, the struggle is that many are not seeing the benefits of their programs. So I think that's ripe opportunity for improvement.
And is there a difference? I was going to ask, what is the difference, if there is a difference, between employee engagement and employee morale?
Good question, and often comes up. There are a lot of definitions out there, and OPM certainly has it, and agencies have theirs as well. Our definition says that engagement is different than satisfaction, pure satisfaction and morale, and it really involves a connection between an employee and their job and the agency in which they work from three different ways. Are they emotionally connected to what they're doing? Are they intellectually tied? And does it show up in what they do every day? So when it comes down to it, it's, you know, their sense of purpose, it's the pride they have in what they do, it's the passion that gets elicited, and then looking at the growth and the fit opportunities in the organization in which they work.
Now, aside from surveys, it's a pretty hard thing to measure morale and employee engagement, and I think an individual's sense of engagement or morale changes almost sometimes hour by hour or day by day or month by month, depending on circumstances. So what is a good way for whoever's in charge of evaluating SESers? What measurements can they use besides an annual survey to say, yeah, this gal has really got good handle on the engagement of the people working for him or her?
Yeah, great question, Tom. As you said, you know, the best metric we have across government are things like the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, as you said. The challenge is that it takes a while to get the data back, and once we get the data, maybe things have changed. There's some interesting new technology and some new opportunities to do more pulse real-time, tapping into employee engagement. Social media has become a big way, but I think what it says is that we need to have more real-time ways of capturing how employees are doing and feeling, and then having more real-time ways of responding to it. So, I mean, that comes back to what executives and managers and supervisors can do day by day by just tapping in, listening to people, what are their challenges, and finding ways to respond to that more quickly.
I mean, a number of years ago, maybe 15 years ago or so, there was this idea of walking around management. I think there was a book about it by the then chairman of Intel, talking about one of the best ways to engage employees was to get out of your office or your glass-enclosed cubicle, whatever it might be, and go talk to people a lot, which seemed like something maybe managers don't often want to do because they've got their own workload. But is that still a good idea?
Well, actually, let me come back and challenge that and say your own workload, because I would say that there's lots of opportunities, and I get the chance to speak to many leaders across town, is think about the job that you do, and are there different ways to do it, and how can you leverage your people in that? So if I were to ask you what really motivates people, is it more pay? You know, is it a pat on the back, or is it maybe involving me in some important decisions? And I would say that third one is something where we have lots of opportunities to engage people. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and it goes a long way toward reaping the rewards of having highly engaged people.
So in other words, another way to put this would be that people will feel more engaged with their job if they have some control over the decisions that affect it.
People have some basic needs. While I do believe there is something to this unique employee experience, and you need to tap into what that person feels, where they are in their career, what's going on in their life, but people want challenging work. They want to be recognized for doing a good job. They want to be part of a mission that's important. They want to be working with respectful managers. They want to be treated fairly. So when you wrap all that up, there are many opportunities and levers that leaders have to tap into that and make it useful and beneficial to the employee, but also beneficial to the agency.
And also on that workload question, I guess if you become a manager at the senior executive level or maybe GS-15 level even, then you should not be doing the direct work that maybe you were so good at that got you to that level in the first place. And so there's some acceptance on the part of management that they are no longer line workers.
Well, the other thing is, and we have some interesting data, particularly on millennials. By the way, millennials now, I heard a recent story that they, across the U.S. workforce, they make up now the largest generational subcategory in the U.S. labor force. The federal government is way behind that, which I think is a challenge for us. But their needs and preferences and work expectations are different. So when you talk about an increasingly diverse workforce and changing career expectations, that makes the job of leaders much more complex. But back to the idea of providing customized work experiences for people, you got to get away from this notion of one size fits all and get to know your people and listen to them, have opportunities to engage with them and get to know them as unique individuals.
And do you think the government's, by the way, I should say who you are again, David Dye is a director in Deloitte's Federal Human Capital Group. That's who we've been speaking to this morning. And with respect to engaging employees, when you do walk around and talk with them, is there a way to kind of quantify what's going on a regular basis and use that to redirect the activities you have going?
Yeah, I think that there's ways to quantitatively assess this, but I think there's also ways of qualitatively assessing it, and some of that is just good business management leadership practice. I think we're in a point in government where, and there are lots of bright spots out there. Not to say all of government is the same. We have wonderful stories out there. Some of these things have been profiled in our work with Best Places. We had an opportunity to launch something about a year and a half ago called the Engagement Institute that has both public and private sector organizations, and we profiled NASA, we profiled the Patent and Trademark Office. But I think what we need to do as a primary leverage point right now is reconnect to our workforce, get to know them, what makes them tick. What can I do to inspire you to be your best and achieve your full potential here? So it takes time and energy, but it's about reconnecting with the workforce.
Now, these ideas seem to be in contrast with the command and control kind of methodology that has typically characterized government, but that's still the case in the military, and yet the engagement is pretty good in the military branches. So how do you reconcile the maybe touchy-feely things we've been talking about with the command and control mentality of the military, where the level of engagement it remains high?
Yeah, great question. So here's one of the traps or common pitfalls that I think organizations and agencies should avoid, and that is to just lift and use what someone else does. When we produce a report with best practices, I think it can give you ideas of what to do, but it doesn't remove the need to understand what kind of organization you have, what kind of culture you have, what kind of goals are you trying to achieve, what's unique about your mission, what's unique about your people. So what may work for the military may not work for another organization. So I think it's up to you to, look at what practices are out there and maybe adapt them as appropriate, but you can't do it in a vacuum. You've got to make it work within your culture.
And briefly, I guess your group at Deloitte and the Senior Executives Association is presenting some webinars for people that want to help with this. Tell us about those.
Yep, thanks. We are actually doing a three-part series with the Senior Executives Association. We had one a couple of weeks ago. We have one this Thursday and then another in April. And this series, I'll give credit to SEA here because whether it's the OMB, OPM memo, or just good business practice, there's a recognition, I think a resurgence of engagement now across government and the role that that executives can play. So we've talked a little bit about the fundamentals of engagement. What is it? How do you measure it? Why should leaders care about it? What can leaders do? This week we're talking about some of the best practices across government and across the private sector. And then later in another couple of weeks we're going to wrap up with some of the ways in which the senior executives can actually respond to the memo and help embed some of these engagement concepts within their own performance standards.
All right. David Dye is a director in Deloitte's Federal Human Capital Group. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks very much, Tom. Have a St. Patrick's Day. Happy day.
You bet. Some green beer maybe later on.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.